Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hey, what's going on? Greetings of your day. Welcome back to Birds All Day. My name is Drew Fairservice, and we are here talking about your now eliminated Toronto Blue Jays. The season is over. The 2020 miracle, the rush to nudge themselves over the 500 mark and sneak in the back door to the playoffs. It was a great time. Everybody had a good time. There's so much to be excited about. As we said time and time again, they were playing with house money, and they didn't win. They got beat pretty bad by the Tampa Bay Rays, which is not really surprising because Tampa Bay is better than the Blue Jays. Doesn't mean we have to like them. Doesn't mean the Blue Jays didn't have a chance to go in there and steal a game. They were a couple, you know, hard-hit balls on either side away from absolutely winning the first game. And then game two happened, and then here we are. So lots to talk about, lots to digest here as the offseason for your 2020 Blue Jays begins. But before we do that, I want to bring in a man for which there is no offseason. There is no off switch on the genius machine. He joins me as always.
Thank you, Dale.
Dale, our boy, Dale. Dale, the reply guy, shout out. He will never hear this. He only listens to the clips that we share on Twitter, and he has opinions, man. Mr. Andrew Stoughton. Stoughton, how are you?
I'm well.
You are old reliable. Let there be no doubt. My internet was less than reliable today, but we got it going. We're here. This is a special show. We've been doing this for long enough that sometimes we get guys on and it's cool. We are very appreciative of every guest.
So here's our next guest, the Zoobs.
The Zoobs. We got the Zoobs is back. He's here to talk about Japanese wrestling. No, our guest this week is Stephen Brunt, which is I'm excited. I'm appreciative and shocked anytime anyone comes on. If it's Zoobs, if it's Caitlin, who are here often, if it's John fucking Gibbons, if it's Alex Anthopoulos, we've had a great run, and I'm so proud of what we've done. But we have someone there's just a weird little proximity thing. Like when we had Dan Shulman on, I was literally texting my friends.
Oh, 100%.
I was like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm on the phone with Dan Shulman, which is he's not as maybe famous as some other guys, but on a professional level. And same with Stephen Brunt. I'm really, really excited. We had a great chat. He's always been the coolest guy. And, as Stoughton said, he was on Drunk Jays Fans a million years ago when we were, I wasn't even part of the deal then. I had my own shitty blog. My blog was shitty. Yours was good. But he just gets it. He's a good times guy who just wants to come and talk about the Blue Jays.
But your blog was good.
So we'll take a break. We'll do Stephen Brunt. Before I do that, I want to encourage everybody. If this is your first time, if you're listening to this because you saw Stephen Brunt's name, are you in for a ride? You want to subscribe to the show. You want to go to Apple Music. You want to go to Apple Podcasts, or you want to go to Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever it is. Subscribe to the show. Subscribe to Birds All Day. Hit us with a like. Hit us with a rating. If you're into it, we're appreciative. Again, we've been doing this for quite a few years now, and every single one feels like a blessing. And it's fun to cover a team that's in the playoffs, whether they got in there by hook or by crook. It doesn't matter. It's a lot of fun here at the end of the season. So if you want to be part of it, if you want to catch up, if this is your first time, thank you for listening. If this is your 500th time, thank you for listening. There was National Podcast Day the other day. We had a guy shout us out. It only takes one, and I get it, makes my day. So subscribe to the show. I appreciate it. And if you want to get all kinds of Blue Jays content, if you want to read about all sports, everything that's going on in Toronto, around the world, you want to read about LeBron, you want to read about Atalanta, there's no better place to do it than at Parks' blog. But when you're done with Parks' blog, you come back to theathletic.com/birdsallday. You subscribe to The Athletic if you haven't already. Right now, limited time offer, $1.25 a month for you. So go sign up for The Athletic, subscribe to the blog, sit back, let's lick our wounds here as the Blue Jay season is over, but we're going to have a lot of fun talking to Stephen Brunt on this edition of Birds All Day.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, as mentioned before, it is our, I would even go as far as to say, extreme pleasure to be joined at this time. You hear him on Sportsnet, you read him on Sportsnet, you maybe read him in the Globe and Mail before, you've maybe read one of his many books, including Searching for Bobby Orr. He wrote other books about people that aren't from Parry Sound. To be joined at this time, you hear him on Sportsnet, you read him on Sportsnet, you maybe read him in the Globe and Mail before. You've maybe read one of his many books, including Searching for Bobby Orr. He wrote other books about people that aren't from Parry Sound, but that's one that I'll start with. But in any event, it is our pleasure at this time to be joined by Mr. Stephen Brunt. Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Andrew, glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. Again, the Blue Jay season is, of course, just ended, but this weird, wild, crazy baseball season rolls on. You're someone who has watched the Blue Jays, watched baseball for many years in a professional capacity. Was there anything that could have prepared you for this, just the weirdness of the 2020 baseball season?
Just everything else that's weird in 2020. Like, in context, you know, it kind of fits, doesn't it? Like, with everything. But no, this is outside my experience, outside my life experience, like that is for everybody else. It has been, Blair and I have talked about this on the air, Jeff Blair, a couple of times, but, you know, on March, whatever the Rudy Gobert night was, we were sitting.
That was the huge moment.
Yeah.
It was the 11th. Yeah.
And we were down at spring training, sitting in a bar in Clearwater Beach with Kevin Barker, a cigar bar, and my son, leading my poor son astray. drinking heavily, talking baseball, and in the background, that the basketball game was playing in the background on a TV set, and we looked up and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And you know, that was Wednesday night, I think. Thursday, the next day, the Jays played the Canadian Junior National Team like they always do, and we were on air during, and that we found out in the middle of that game that they were shutting down spring training, and by Friday, they padlocked the park, and we were doing the show from the lobby of Ben Wagner's condo. So, and it hasn't gotten any more normal since then. So that was, yeah. And then the flight back to Toronto and quarantine, and you know, people saying, "Well, the opening day is going to be just slightly pushed back." So, I've been adjusting ever since.
It's hard to believe. I think you're right about the context, where if we stood here 1 year ago and said, "Oh, by the way, next year, in extra innings, they're going to start with a guy in second base and they'll be playing doubleheader seven inning games, in the big leagues," like it's nothing. Anyone would have assumed us to be crazy. Now, do you think that any of these weird and wild changes that so many, you know, steeped in traditionalism baseball fans, which is all baseball fans, whether they like it or not, do you think any of these changes are going to stick? Do you think we're going to see seven inning doubleheaders in the future, or extra inning, you know, guys on second sort of thing? What's your sense of like the reality of any of this stuff lasting?
Well, there almost aren't any, you know, in a normal season, there are almost no doubleheaders anyway, right? So I'm not sure that's going to happen, or it'll have to happen. Universal DH, you probably have to wait for the new collective agreement, I would think, before that you know, maybe the players will agree to it for next year in between, but that's coming, right? Like whether it's next year or after that, that one's coming, that's going to happen. The Ghost Runner and extras, I don't know. There will be expanded playoffs for sure, but I'm not sure it's going to be six. I don't think it'll be 16 teams. And I think they're going to have to give the first place teams a little more of a reward for being first. But I think bits and pieces are going to stick. And but I think in terms of this 60 game season, I don't know. I watched all that stuff and kind of thought, well, why not? Right. Like, let's see what it looks like. Everything else is upside down. What's it look like if you put a runner on second base to start the 10th inning? Or, what's it look like to see a whole bunch of double? I'd rather watch 7-inning doubleheaders than, 4.5, 5-hour, 9-inning games. I'll tell you that. So, but I just don't. I don't know. Like, put it this way. I think more stuff is on the table in baseball than probably has been on the table, since they adopted the DH in the American League, or since they lowered the mound, I think they are open to suggestion right now. Anyway, let's put it that way.
I mean, the Blue Jays are a really interesting organization, I think, in terms of just even, just thinking about where the league is at, and they are not necessarily mavericks in terms of, I don't know what do you think Mark Shapiro thinks about this?
I don't think he's a hidebound traditionalist, Mark, though. Look, my guess is that what Mark is thinking about right now is how they're going to generate revenue in 2021 and praying like hell that, those flex packs that they're putting on sale are actually going to represent games,
right.
Like honest to God, I think, he'll be part of the, he'll be part of the decision-making process in baseball. But I just think that we haven't really dealt, or no one's really dealt with the consequences of what we've just seen in terms of the business. And that's not just baseball. That's not just sports. Right. But this context, they've taken an enormous hit and they're walking off into enormous uncertainty. And yeah, I know they got to cash some TV checks this fall, and they will. And that's better than nothing, which is why they played. But I think there is so much uncertainty around the business, and, you can talk about the financial part or the baseball part, but on both sides, we're entering into a 2021 that even if they play 162, I think there's a ton of questions about, where the business is going to be and how you run a franchise, never mind the fact that they're about to gut the minor league system, they're about to pare down the minor leagues dramatically. Like, the whole structure was going to change that way anyway, and now you've got this on top of it, and you've lost a minor league season in the middle. I think they got a lot on their plate.
But what's interesting, I think, also about that, though, is that the Jays have positioned themselves really well in terms of how they've set up their payroll structure. And you were talking about this on Writer's Block this week about how they don't have a lot of commitments. And this is, were the world in a more normal place, this would be a point for them to really like push. And I'm curious what they're going to do about it.
Yeah, me too.
I think it makes, it would, in baseball sense, it would make a lot of sense to, like, this is where it's time for them to hit the gas, especially, they paid Ryu $80 million last winter. His performance, perhaps, in game two of the playoffs, notwithstanding, that's worked really well, but they really don't have a lot of commitments going forward and have a huge sort of opportunity in front of them. But they also have an excuse built in, which is COVID and how they didn't.
They don't have any revenue.
They were upfront about it before, about that's their main revenue driver.
It is for most, like anybody who's not the Yankees and the Dodgers, it is, yeah. I think, and they, like, it's not just they had no revenue, then they had to build a makeshift ballpark in Buffalo, to play in, right? They had to pay for that. It's look, I think they've done well. Again, I'm a bit of a broken record on the current front office, but I think they've done a really nice job in clearing the decks and turning things around remarkably quickly. And you know, I love the fact that they got $53 or $56 million in payroll obligations, mm-hmm. but you know, pre-arb and all of that stuff. But you know, their fourth highest payroll obligation next year is Detroit Tulowitzki, which I love. You know, the $4 million yeah. they still owe him. So yeah, it. You know, I guess you'd still kind of like the Ryu move. I thought was a bold one, given where they were in the cycle, the rebuild cycle, and I thought it was a bit of a statement move that way because you know I don't think they expected to contend this year in a 162 game season. So I think that was a bold move to go out and make that commitment to him. But I think that there's ways they can use that. Payroll, you would assume that they can, you know, spend up to a certain number, even, you know, again, within the context of a publicly traded company, and you know, they don't do stuff romantically at Rogers, as everybody knows. I think it's a really open question what the free agent market's going to look like, you know, mm-hmm. and how suppressed is it going to be, and how many teams are going to be trying to move salary by trade. Just to try and improve their own financial situation. So, because I think that's going to be a real thing. Like, you know, I talk to anybody in the game right now that's what they're talking about is that teams are going to have to lose salary just for bottom line reasons. So, you know, the Jays can go a bunch of different ways. They could play in the free agent market depending on how it evolves. They could try and, you know, use their financial flexibility, whatever they have, to take somebody off someone else's hands and maybe not have to pay quite the prospect price they would otherwise. They could look at extending some of their guys, I guess, and front loading that money because, you know, you want to do that when you maybe you don't have as much money on the books. So there's no real urgency to do that, I don't think. But yeah, I think they're positioned, you know, pretty with a bunch of options, but again, yeah. Remember not knowing right now for sure whether they're going to get $1 in ticket revenue next season and how many games they're going to play.
Yeah.
Theoretically, yes, but I it's hard to do the math.
It also feels like, will they, right? Like they, it does seem like, you know, Ross Atkins was saying on the Zoom call that he did last week, you know, we have the strongest ownership in baseball, or Mark Shapiro was talking about that maybe in, maybe with you and Jeff, actually. But you can say you have the strongest ownership in baseball, but you have to act on it, I think. And I'm not sure that they're there.
Even the strongest ownership in baseball isn't printing its own money and just like handing it out, right? Like I feel like, you know, Rogers, as it relates to the Blue Jays, they're not over leveraged in terms of real estate. Like a lot of other teams are getting into like the real estate business. They're not trying to make payments on debt or that, you know, not like maybe someone like the other teams or the Marlins, or you know, I feel like even if they just are able to sit tight, they might be okay in terms of just like not needing to over leverage themselves, but also, you know, looking long term, they have a young team. So I think you're right. I think there's so much that's up in the air that that it could go in anyone in a million ways, and things that are well out of their hand, and no one's going to be really in a hurry to do anything. That no. You know, the Rockies aren't going to trade Nolan Arenado tomorrow unless they know, you know, what their situation as it relates to every other team in the league. So well, there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, and I think you look. I think you've got to decide where you are still in that curve, you know, in terms mm-hmm. of building. And I think this year, you know, if this had been a 162 game season that they had just played, if it played out normally, you know, with a bunch of those bullpen's arms would have been in Buffalo in the starting rotation, and you know, Chase Anderson and Tanner Roark, and you know, Shoemaker Beat stayed healthy to whatever, like, you know, your rotation would not have been great behind Ryu. And, you know, we probably would have all looked at this as kind of a, you know, a developmental season where you introduce some guys as things went on. If you finished 500, that'd be great. But, you know, I don't think they were a playoff team at 162 games. And, I don't think that's, you know, that's you know, that, I think that's dead obvious.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. It's great 100%. That they were in, it's great that they made it in the 60 game season. It's all positive, and we enjoyed it while it lasted. It didn't last very long, but I enjoyed the season. But, you know, but if you is 2021 a big year for this team in terms of, like, do you think they're a playoff team in 2021? Now, there's so much uncertainty about how you're going to deploy pitching next year mm-hmm. after guys haven't pitched, you know, or just pitched in the bullpen. You had no minor leagues. I don't think it's the all-in season. And, you know, building this thing is not just about, I think the free agents and, you know, the wheeling the prospects for guys is kind of the Ryu thing happened before I thought something like that would happen. But I still think that other stuff is, if there's an opportunity and you can get a couple of extra years from a guy, absolutely, you know, take mm-hmm. advantage of the situation. But I don't think they're quite at, you know, all the chips in the middle of the table. I think that is 2022 or 2023 or somewhere in there, ideally.
Well, 2022 isn't going to exist because it's going to be a
thanks
strike
for that,
or whatever.
Thanks for killing that. Yeah.
But also, I was writing about this today, but like, how do you improve, like Ross Atkins would say, run prevention, you know, just talking about the defense, like, the outfield was a huge question mark, I think, for everybody coming into the season. And they've done very well. But they are going to have to subtract someone somewhere to tighten that up. Like, if you watched the Blue Jays and the Rays, which I feel that everybody probably did, the Rays are not a team full. They're not the Yankees. They don't have Stanton and Judge and DJ LeMahieu and whatever. You know, they're not a team that's going to like beat your brains in offensively, but they do all the little things well that are less valued, right? They're, you know,
they catch the ball.
They like that outfield is incredible.
Yep.
And the Blue Jays outfield, I like the Blue Jays outfield, but they're not the Rays outfield.
No, I think, you know, Blair and I were kicking this around today. I think they've got already enough DH candidates without making Teoscar Hernandez a DH. So I think they've got other people who are very well suited to that job. so let's assume the corner guys aren't going anywhere because, you know, I love Gurriel. I just think he's got a tremendous upside and, you know, he's bit of an eccentric left fielder, right, in the way he plays it, but he gets to balls and he's really athletic, and I think he'll figure it out. And Teoscar, I think, despite the lapses that with that bat, you got to put it somewhere, and I think that's where you put it, and you live with it sort of the way back in the day they lived with George Bell. So, you know, the question becomes center field, because, you know, if you had a plus defensive center fielder who did not kill you offensively, like not a guy you had to, you know, put in the nine slot and pray for, that would solve a lot of problems. You know, that would make
Jonathan Davis, perhaps.
That would be great. You know, that would be great. I kind of think he's a fourth outfielder on an half decent team, but you know, Kevin Kiermaier, you know, would a guy like that even, you know, he's not a great offensive player, but he catches the ball.
Kevin Pillar, perhaps.
Yeah, no, or less him. I think that's one thing, you know, that's if you want to improve your outfield defense. Of course, then that's kind of wither Randall Grichuk then, and I don't have the answer to that.
He's been fine, but they have to improve their quote-unquote run prevention somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see how they're going to do that without subtracting someone.
I think you're gonna have, there's, you know, they're probably, look, the fact that they you know took a run at Didi Gregorius last offseason tells you something too. Like, again, I think they're giving up on Bo Bichette as a shortstop, but I think if Lindor was available, you know, I think Bo would move over, right? I think if DJ LeMahieu wanted to come to Toronto, they'd find a place for him, you know, in the infield.
Well, Buffalo, but yeah.
Look, so you've danced around it a little bit, and I think we can all, maybe we don't have to agree. like Bo Bichette's not a big league shortstop. Like I don't want to break any hearts here. I said this on The Fan earlier tonight. They need like a guy who is a defensive shortstop. You know, the thing about even back with a player like Freddy Galvis, right? Like they're not worse with him at short and Bichette at second, and then moving the rest of those pieces around. Because I just don't think he's up for the job. So if there's, but that's the hardest thing to find. Like, oh, just go get a really good defensive shortstop. Those guys are everywhere. But also they've got so many intriguing infielders coming up in the minor leagues that like, okay, if, you know, is it Groshans? Is it Aravis Martinez? Is it whoever? Does this group seem like the kind that would throw good money after bad, trying to plug a hole in the infield, knowing that maybe the fix is waiting in the wings?
I feel this is Drew waiting to say they need to sign Anderson Simmons.
That free agent is a fantastic idea. I can think of literally not a better one.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm not willing to. I still think Bo Bichette could be a serviceable major league shortstop if his bat's as good as it could be. I think you could live with that depending on how the rest of your infield, I know shortstop matters more than the other two, positions on that side of the infield. But yeah, I would still have him there unless I had someone who could displace him, who was a real difference maker, like a Lindor and a Gregorius, a guy like that. Then I'm starting to move the pieces around and adapt. The guys who are coming, like who knows, right? I've seen Groshans in it for a flash in Florida. I read all the same stuff you guys have read about him. Martinez, I haven't seen it all. I'm not sure what position Austin Martin's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be incredible.
They'll be fighting for shortstop one after another.
They'll all be, but I think they're, some of them are going to get traded, is what I think eventually.
100%, yeah, yeah.
Well, they've got a lot of athletic tweeners.
For a fourth starter, most likely.
Well, I think we don't want to take too much of your time, but you said a couple different words I think that are key. You said, you described Mark Chappell. You said he's not a hidebound traditionalist, and I don't think that you would I would classify you, Mr. Brunt, as that as well. You've also talked about romance. What do you think about like the state of the game? Obviously, the Blue Jays pitching choices in game one, the decision to take Shoemaker out after three innings was a big one. We saw the White Sox, a team that was on like a 95 win pace. They used seven relievers to get 15 outs at one point in a playoff in game three of a series. They couldn't even muster up a decent pitcher to get to make a start. Like, from a visual, like an aesthetic perspective, from a team building perspective, like what do you make of the kind of state of the game right now? Do you find it alienating? Do you find it entertaining? Maybe a mix of both. I don't know. I mean, I got my opinions. I'm very interested to hear what you have to say, though.
Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't say it's alien. Like, I'm not. No, I'm not yelling at clouds. I think knowledge is good, and if I was running a club right now, I would be listening to, and hiring the smartest guys I could find to try and find, I just look at the Rays, they didn't win a World Series, but they've been pretty darn successful by being smarter than everybody else. And, the whole thing with Shoemaker the other day, I was like, sensing the outrage, I stay away from Twitter for, the reasons of
you don't even have a burner account. But you don't have a burner account.
No, nothing, nada. It's people get enough of me without that. But but I love the outrage and the continuing outrage after the game, even though it worked. Six innings of one run ball. It did. So yeah. And then people were say, well, but maybe Shoemaker's upset and he won't want to sign with him again. That's not how it works. Guys don't have little tantrums. Like, Matt Shoemaker's not in a position to have tantrums. He's he needs to get a gig next
nobody,
year.
Nobody cares if Matt Shoemaker won't want to sign with you.
Yeah, somebody thought about, Tanner Roark. Yes, remember Tanner Roark, and, God, they've got him next year, and now they've upset him because they didn't let him go in there and get bombed for seven innings. I was surprised when they yanked Shoemaker when they did? Sure I was. Like everybody, right? But it worked. And I always assume, it's been weird this year because you don't have the chance to talk to people You know, nobody's down at the park talking to guys before games. You can't talk to the manager in his office. You can't pull a guy aside and say, "Hey, why'd you do that?" So, you know, it's a bunch of Zoom calls. So rather than a stand back and assume that I know more than these guys do, I'm guessing that they know more than I do. You know, they probably had a better sense of how Ryu was feeling before that start than the rest of us did. And, you know, they probably had a pretty good, better sense of how a extra day of rest normally would have, you know, help him than the rest of us do. And there's a rationale there. Like the watching the White Sox, I was watching that while I was on the radio today. And, you know, that did seem, we used to call that overmanaging at one point, I think, you know, managing right. Every game like it's the seventh game of the World Series, except now it's in the wild card. I think sometimes there's a little bit of, you know, you can kind of replace the mad genius manager with the mad genius manager plus the analytics department and whoever else feeds into it.
It's the black box. It's the analytics department black box.
But what if it's true? Like, what if the, you know, right. Like, I think the shift works, right?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do it? I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to do that because, you know, I'm not sure what the counter, you know, is to taking everything you can get to try and get an edge and playing with, you know, with, I guess you could somehow change the rules to prevent things, but I'm not sure where that would start and where that would end. So, yeah, there are aspects of it that I'm not in love with, but, you know, I've been around long enough to, you know, kind of not say, well, I don't pine for things to be the way they were when I was 10 years old, because most things are better than when I was 10 years old, except the, like, you know, some aspects of the larger world and the political scene and, you know, a variety of other stuff, which was actually might have been, even in 1968, which was a tough year, it was better than it is right now.
Jesus Christ.
We could get the games over within 2.5 hours. Like I don't think that's too much to ask.
No, that would be fine. You know, I've been around a lot of minor league games and spring training games where they enforce the pitch clock. I don't like that, but it does speed up the game.
Did you ever watch a game at Tiger Stadium?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is the best park.
Seems like an incredible place.
Better than Fenway, better than Wrigley. Both of those are overrated. Fenway's horrible because of who sits in the stands. Worst people on earth. You know, just the worst. And Wrigley is like, yeah, it's you know, it's the myth of Wrigley and all of that. It's way too twee for my taste. But, you know, Tiger Stadium was awesome, right? That part of town was gone, all but, you know, destroyed. There was nothing around it but the corner. Yeah. If you wanted to watch a baseball game and not be at a baseball oldie timey amusement park, it was the perfect place. The guys, the ushers would wipe down the seat before you sat down. I took my kids there. The day that Carlos Delgado hit one out of the building over the roof, and right, I was buying a blue snow cone for one of my kids. I didn't even see it. I just heard the sound. But awesome. I did, yeah. No, it was my favorite, and it was a crime that they tore it down because, you know, that was just about,
seriously,
they just wanted to build the, you know, the mall around it, right? Like as a ballpark, it was absolutely functional. And they,
yeah, how's that mall doing right now?
Yeah, not that. Great. Yeah, not so good. So yeah, you hit that the Tiger Stadium and Ernie Harwell are the two. You know, Ernie is the, you know, never got the kind of props that Vin Scully got, but Ernie Harwell is every bit as good as anybody who's ever called baseball.
Amazing. We don't want to take too much more of your time. Let the people know where they can hear you and find you on Sportsnet and beyond these days. And what else is coming up for you?
Also your burner account.
Your Twitter handle, yeah.
Yeah, I'll never tell.
Newfoundland Miss 420.
Yeah, I'll never tell, man. Newfoundland, I've been banned from Newfoundland this year. I couldn't even go back to my other life this year. They wouldn't let me on the island. I'm on Writer's Block with Jeff Blair, 3 to 5 every other week. And I will pop up elsewhere on Sportsnet. I will occasionally write for the website. And I hope, you know, that soon we're back producing content for baseball content, because I think there's a lot of great stuff coming up. I again, whatever next year turns into, there's a this is I was saying to one of our guys, despite the way the playoff went, this is, you've got kind of unfettered hope here for 5 months, right? There's nothing like you can, you know, even in 2015, you know, David Price was gone and, you know, why didn't they didn't even make an offer, you know, just like I didn't even make an, I didn't make an offer on that Picasso, you know, same, it's the same argument. And, you know, Alex left and you had the whole thing with Alex leaving. And so they're even in the midst of all that euphoria, there was this kind of bad undertone in 2016. There was some stuff obviously. But now, like, no one's going to leave. You know, no, there's no one kind of forcing their way out of town unless they want them to force their way out of town. No one's going to get fired. You got a really good core group of young players. There's a bunch more coming. You're going to get to watch Nate Pearson next year. You're going to watch Bo Bichette and Vladdy and all these guys next year. And they're going to get, you know, I'm not sure next year is the year, but they're going to get better. And, hope, we're in the hope business. The results business, professional wrestling is in the results business. We're in the hope business. You can't guarantee outcomes, right? Mm-hmm. But it's all about hope. And this will be the hopiest winter for the Blue Jays since about 1983, I'd say. So, yeah, I'd love to be out on the road somewhere shooting some docs and getting to know these guys. And we'll see. I'm not sure you can do that on Zoom.
I feel you're going to be doing that in Newfoundland somewhere.
Probably
the Newfoundland baseball resurgence. Probably, it's coming.
Newfoundland.
Understand Newfoundland.
You have to accent it properly.
You have to understand
Newfoundland. Blair never gets it right. I've been working on it for years. He still hasn't got it right.
Also, did you have a whale situation at some point?
We had a dead whale. Yeah, we had the blue whale. Yeah, they carved it up just across the road from my house. They fled.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was on the right podcast for this story. Holy shit.
No, I wasn't there when they did it. Just before we got there, I watched the whole thing play out online, and I was watching them drag this whale out of the and to take it to the place. And, you know, I don't know if either of you have been around a dead whale. But
I have. It's
a distinctive odor. Let's put it that way. It is the worst smell ever. And I was watching them on the internet drag this whale through the water to the ROM guys were the ones who ended up in possession of it. And as I was watching them drag it, I said, "That's across the road from my house. That's the dock they're going to." And I thought, no, "Don't go to that dock. You know, just stay at a distance because dead whales, like, you know." Big, really big dead whales. It's going to stink forever. But I got to say, by the time I got there, the whale had been fully cleansed and departed. But there was another one that washed up on another beach. It was a bad year for blue whales. And I think Jim Balsillie ended up in possession of that one.
Oh, the owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
They would be owner of Pittsburgh Penguins. The former owner of...
the Hamilton Penguins.
Yeah, so yeah, I think he ended up with that skeleton, which is the kind of thing you do if you're really rich.
Well, what else would you do? Can also, I know that, I'm not sure if there's an active one, but you can go online and there are like whale fall cams where they'll set a camera up on a whale carcass that has sunk to the bottom of the ocean. And it is fascinating to watch, maybe on a time lapse. That's like,
I was going
to
say, kind of slow, isn't it?
Like, but as different like strata of sea creatures come in and like they'll pick the bones clean. And then as all it's fascinating. You came on the right show. Next time. Oh. Next time
we'll get your whales. We'll do all whales next time. I'm in.
All whales, all the time. They're the coolest. We'll get the zoobs on. Nobody likes the whales more than the zoobs. Mr. Brunt. Thank you so much. If ever anyone was going to create great content out of Zoom calls, I'm sure it could be you. I just hope that we don't have to get forced. We're not forced into that. Again, Stephen Brunt, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. It was a blast.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. But after that, we'll be right back with more Birds All Day. All right, that was so much fun. Shout out to Wales. And shout out to Stephen Brunt for taking the time to join us. And shout out to Bobby Orr. He wrote a book about Bobby Orr. I don't know if we've talked about it on the air, but the Bobby Orr Museum in Parry Sound, but it's a good time. Stephen Brunt wrote a book called Searching for Bobby Orr. He also, on Wikipedia, he wrote a book, second to none, about Roberto Alomar that apparently he wrote.
Yes, that was what I was going to say.
He wrote in a month. He wrote the book in a month. makes you sick when you think about stuff like that. Anyone who's ever tried to write a book, which I can't even write a fucking newsletter. I can't write an email without falling asleep on the couch. I wrote a book in a month. But anyway, it was a fun season. There's a lot to learn. And there, and like Hope said, like Brunt said, we're there. This is the hope business. And there's lots of hope for the Toronto Blue Jays into 2021. There's lots of hope that they can either the players that we saw come together this year can continue to improve, can continue to – we can continue and they can continue to figure out who they are. Who is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Who is Cap Biggio? Who is Bo Bichette, other than the best second baseman in the division? Who these guys might be, what the players coming behind them are going to look like, and also what it's going to mean as the minor league, you know, world changes. There's just so much in flux. There's so much going on. It's a really weird time. But if you're a Blue Jays fan, again, I hope you're not disappointed. It's understandable to be disappointed after they got flushed out of the playoffs. But I think here, a week later, as time goes by, we'll kind of reflect on the season, not fondly because it's, you know, the end of days. When spring training starts, there'll be lots of talk. But we still have the best part of the season to look forward to, and that is transactions. Oh, baby. Transactions are coming. Are you ready for your mentions to be full of people asking if they're going to DFA, if they're going to a non-tender Travis Shaw? Are you ready for Rule 5 chat? The offseason rolls on and Birds All Day will roll on with it. We're not going anywhere. Through the playoffs, through the shitty months, November, easily the worst month, December, we're going to keep on going. So we're not going to let Stoughton take a break. I'm sure he'll write something that will be exciting and a big look at what's coming up in the offseason. So you can read that. You can read everything that Caton writes. And you can, of course, keep it locked here. Keep listening to Birds All Day. Thank you, everybody, for your support here in this very strange 2020 season. We're going to have lots of fun in the offseason. We're going to keep talking about your Toronto Blue Jays. So for Andrew Stoughton, my name is Drew Fairservice. We will talk to you again, as I said, next week on Birds All Day.